A couple of months ago, my wife Kelly emailed me an article with the title, Things I Wish Jesus Didn't Say. And she said, hey, this idea would make a great series. And I wholeheartedly agreed with her. So I talked with the other teaching team members, and we immediately began studying for this series. Now, for me, I went right to the Gospel of Matthew. Figures start right with the beginning where Jesus starts talking. And as I was cutting and pasting the things that Jesus said that I was not too crazy about, I started to collect them, you know, in a Word document. And I got to the end of my study for the day, and I had 16 pages of things that Jesus said that I wasn't too crazy about. And that was just the book of Matthew. We still got three more Gospels to go, so get used to and ready for a very long Bible series. Now, last week, we looked at the relational responsibility that we have to try to right negative attitudes that other people are harboring towards us. Well, tonight, we're going to look at another command that Jesus said to us, and that command is love your enemies. Allow me to thank Eric Estep for all of his insight into this information tonight. Most of what I'm sharing tonight, I learned from him, as I am not an expert in this area, I assure you. I am a fellow learner. Late one evening in Broken Bow, Nebraska, a very weary truck driver pulled into an all-night truck stop. The waitress was there, was very kind, and she started serving him coffee, and in came three very tough-looking, leather-jacketed motorcyclists with a very ominous patch on their back. Well, these men were looking for trouble, and they decided that this older truck driver looked like easy prey. So they went over and they started to abuse him. One took his hamburger, another one threw his French fries, and still another drank his coffee and left it empty and upside down on the table. How would this truck driver respond? The waitress was worried, she didn't know what was going on. And the older man from the truck simply got up, did not say a word, left and drove off. The three truck drivers looked at the waitress and said, well, he's not much of a man, is he? And she had been looking out the window and put back the curtain and said, well, I wouldn't know anything about him being much of a man, but I do know that he's not much of a truck driver because he just ran over three motorcycles. Now, we hear that story and we like that. Don't we? We like that kind of story because that kind of story says we can be fair, that life is fair. We need to look at things as being fair. You hurt me, I hurt you. Tit for tat. This is how it should be. You're mean to me, then I'm mean to you. And it just goes on and on and on. We say this is how life should be lived, being fair. And we all get in tune with that. Because that's how our old nature is wired. Well, Henry Cloud says, if you want to kill relationships, if you want to absolutely destroy every relationship in your life, you can do that by playing fair. What? Oh, yeah. Pretty simple. Play fair and you'll ruin every relationship in your life. When you offend me, fair says, I offend you back. If you hurt me, fair says, I hurt you back. And it goes on and on and on and on. Every relationship will die because we're playing fair. And this is where Jesus takes us to another level as followers of him and says, oh no, we're not called to play fair. We're called to not play fair. And here's what he wrote. Matthew 5. 43 through 48. Jesus said, you've heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? If ye salute your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Now you'll notice here, Jesus starts off by referring back to Leviticus 19:18. This verse had been handed down by God to Moses, and it says this, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Now, did you notice there's a difference? You'll notice that this verse that was handed down in Leviticus says nothing about hating your enemy. Nothing. It's not there. That little extra tidbit was added by the Jewish scribes as they continued to add to God's word. God never, never calls us to hate a person. There is no place for hating in God's world of people. Instead, what we are called to is loving without regard. Loving without regard. And that means loving whether we deem that a person is worthy. It means loving without concern for the other person's response. It means loving whether we think they deserve it or not. Kenneth Core wrote this. He said, those who have received God's regardless love are called to give regardless love because that is who God is and what it means to be God's child. This, friends, is a whole new way of thinking and a whole new way of acting, and it goes against our deeply ingrained fallen nature. We like to play fair. God says, no, you have to learn to not play fair. We are to be kind, regardless of what comes at us. We are to do good, regardless of whether we've been hurt. We are to lend, regardless that they may never repay. And not because you will eventually win them by your behavior, not because you will heap coals of fire on their heads, not because you will kill them with kindness, but because this is the way God is. We have to lose the idea of playing fair, tit for tat. We have to lose that and learn to play unfair. We must learn to give back better than we have been given. Give back better than what we have been given. Now, I find this command of Jesus pushes our faith and our Holy Spirit empowerment to some of its highest levels. Gang, we like to see results, don't we? We like encouragements as we move forward. We like wins. We like to see improvement, and we like to see payoff for our effort. But in God's economy, we are called to obey God and live godly, not because of results, not because of encouragements, not because of wins, improvements, or payoffs. We must cinch up our belts, apply our faith, and do what God says simply because that's what God says we should do. play unfair. Give better than you have been given. Now, if you look deeply, you'll notice this concept and this ability to love our enemies is not something that is found so much on our outward actions, but instead it's an attitude based deep within our hearts. Jesus did not want his followers to be people who were vengeful, angry, resentful, and unforgiving. Nor are we called to ignore or dismiss our enemies. That attitude is no different than from those who don't know Jesus. Instead, Jesus wants his people to move into and emulate the heart of God, loving without regard, giving love even when we are given less than love or even hatred. So unless you have the personality of Gandhi or the character of Olivia de Havilland in God with the Wind, loving your enemies is going to be an attribute that is hard fought for in your life. And Jesus knows this. And that's why we see Jesus offer us help on how to get there, how to get to where he says, striving for being perfect. Jesus says this, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you. Now this is helpful because it allows us to bite off pieces of this effort a little at a time. You know, scientific studies have been done that show the damage that hatred does. Anger causes your blood pressure and your breathing rate to increase, which causes a strain on your heart, making you more susceptible to heart attacks and stroke. It can also break down your immune system and cause you to be susceptible to various diseases. Hatred also can destroy you emotionally. It wears you out and makes your judgment less effective, leading to bad decision making. Oftentimes, the result of hatred is outbursts that can cause us to be embarrassed. And this can lead to feelings of guilt and depression. Another side effect of always being angry and having intense hatred is that not many people will enjoy being around you. And of course, hatred destroys you spiritually. We're told throughout the Bible that the essence of God is love. And if we're harboring hatred in our hearts, then we're living contrary to God's command to love each other. And the result of that is a disconnect from God, as we learned last week. Psalm 66:18 says, if I have sin in my heart, God will not hear me. Gang, there are probably a lot of us who feel disconnected from God, who feel distant from God, because we're harboring things in our lives that aren't supposed to be there. Have you ever noticed when you're angry at someone, it becomes the focus of your life? It doesn't matter what's going on around you. Your thoughts and your focus are totally upon the person who's wronged you. You become trapped in that hatred to where it's hard to function properly as a person and as a follower of God. So, how can we gain freedom from being imprisoned by anger? Jesus said, here is your first bite in loving your enemies, doing good to those who hate you. One thing we all have control over is how we're going to respond. And if you make the choice to respond to those who hate you, to those who are angry at you, by doing good to them, you're going to diffuse a tense situation. It's really hard for someone to continue to hate you when you do good to them. Kindness and love change people. I knew a man who had a younger brother, and they were quite a few years apart, but they were both older guys at this point, and for some reason they had a major falling out. And the older man was looking to heal things up, but the younger brother wasn't into any of that. He liked playing fair. He was going to pay back evil for evil forever. And this went on for years and years and years and years. And they lived not far from each other. Until one day, the older man heard that his younger brother needed a big section of his property dug up for a new line that they were bringing in, a new water line. They had no way to get it done. Meanwhile, the older man had a backhoe and could take care of that. So although they had been enemies for years and years and years, the older brother went down with his backhoe and dug every bit of that for his brother at no charge. That's doing good to those who hate you. Kind to an unkind coworker. You and I can be the type of person who, instead of paying back unkindness with more unkindness, can do the opposite, play unfair. We can be the kind of people who play unfair, where when someone does not invite us to something, we can remember to invite them when it's our turn, playing unfair. We can play unfair when someone is not generous or giving to us. We could be unfair and be generous and giving to them. The first response that Jesus is saying in being loving towards your enemies is to do good to those who hate you. The second response we are to have towards our enemies is to bless those who curse you. Now, we've all heard the phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, I am here to tell you that that is an absolute lie. All right? There aren't too many things that carry more power in life than the way we communicate with one another. The Bible tells us over and over again the great power that is in our speech. Unfortunately, it's so much easier for us to use our speech in a negative way than a positive way. It's so much easier to lash out at people and curse them than to use our speech to build them up and bless them. But when we choose to use our speech to lash out at people who harm us or hurt our feelings, all we're doing is throwing gas on a fire. All we're doing is rubbing salt in the wound. We all know what happens when you put salt in a cut. It stings and it hurts. It typically causes a bad reaction. That's one reason Jesus tells us that one of the best ways to respond to our enemies is by blessing them. Kind speech is a way of working as a salve to heal wounds in people's lives. Proverbs 12:18 says this, "Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Proverbs 15:1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." You know, this past Tuesday, I had been asked to pray at a 9/11 service that was being held by my fire department in the city of Linden. Now, if I said yes to this, I wanted me to pray in the beginning of the service and pray at the end. If I said yes to this, this would mean traveling 3 hours and getting all kinds of things ready that I would need to get ready uniform-wise, and giving up an entire morning of primetime message preparation. Another variable in this equation is that it would mean that I would have to rub shoulders with an absolutely awful boss. A boss who basically was in charge of the ceremony. It would have been very easy for me to say no and to leave him hanging. That's playing fair. He's not nice to me. I'm not going to do anything for you. But I know that I have to bless those who curse you. I have to play unfair. So, I told him I would do it. The night before, though, I was very busy. I got everything ready. I had to get my class, we call our Class A uniform. It's our dress uniform. It's a big deal. And you got a million things to get ready. I got all that ready. I prepared the prayers on the computer. I printed them out. I just got everything I needed to. I knew that I had to go into the car. My hat, didn't want to miss my hat. I knew I had to have my belt. I had to have my dress shoes. A million things to get this done right. And then head off to Linden in the worst time of the day possible to be there at 9 a.m. And I did this. I drove there, and it took 2 hours to get to Linden that morning. I ran upstairs into the firehouse where this was going to take place. I got changed, and I realized that I had forgotten my badge. Just my badge. I had a full Class A uniform on. You wouldn't know that I didn't have my badge because you don't, this is not necessary. Anyway, I get downstairs, and who's there? Awful boss, right? He's going to speak, which he loves to do. And first thing, he walks up to me, "Where's your badge?" I said, "I forgot it." I went on to do the ceremony, and I tried to do a really good job praying. On the front end, my brother Jay sang, awful boss talked. I went up, and I prayed again. I made it very heartfelt, wanted to do a good job, and I thought I did. I thought I did a good job. I would tell you if I did a bad job, but I thought I did a good job. Jay said it was good. Jay got saved. So with that in mind, now the ceremony ended, I knew what to do. Hightail out of there. I know. So I ran upstairs, right back into my shorts and t-shirt, ran downstairs, out the back of the firehouse, down there he is. Awful boss. "Lieutenant Kleinbell." "Yes, sir." "Thank you very much. It was my pleasure." Ran off to the car. The bottom line is he couldn't hate me for blessing him. If anything, I made him look good, and I made the department look better for my blessing someone who doesn't bless me. Okay, so to learn to play unfair, to learn to love our enemies, we need to, number one, do good to those who hate you, and number two, bless those who curse you, and number three, Jesus tells us we are to pray for those who mistreat you. Now, we have talked at length about our obedience to God's command. What loving and not loving will mean to us and our lives, but what his final step reminds us of is, what is our goal for our enemy? What is our goal for our enemy? And that is loving someone. Loving someone, loving your enemy means, it means this: you want the best for that person at your own expense. Got that? That's what love is, wanting the best for someone at your own expense. It doesn't mean that you want them to become your best friend, though it has happened by people loving their enemy. It doesn't mean that you will marry that person. Has happened by loving your enemy. It doesn't mean that you weren't hurt by their actions. Wanting the best for that person at our own expense means that we want them to change. We want them to find righteousness, which means right behavior. When we pray, we are ushering God into the situation. We are inviting God. God, get involved, and we are partnering with God in this battle. Jesus was nailed to a cross. He was laughed at. He was humiliated. He was spit on. And from that horrible position, high above his enemies, he looked down on them and prayed for them. He didn't play fair. Instead, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Gang, God never intends to discount our pain, our suffering, and our being wronged. But what God does intend is for us to rise above it. What God does intend is for us to lean on the power of the Holy Spirit that he has put in every single one of his believers to do what seems impossible. Our attitudes should not be actions and attitudes that the world around us second and say, We see that as normal. That's fair play. As for me and my walk with God, as I was writing this week, I became challenged to identify, who are these enemies, Lord, that you want me to love? Identify the one that God would show me, first and foremost, that I should begin loving. And I discovered as I prayed about it that God wasn't calling me as my first up. He wasn't calling me to love Al-Qaeda and start there. He wasn't calling me to start by loving every terrorist who was involved in the 9/11 attacks. Instead, God pointed me to the people who I rub shoulders with every day. The one who speaks evil of me to others, I must bless them. The one who stole from me at work, I must do good for that person. The one who does their best to discourage me and discourage my loved ones, I must pray for them and ask God to redeem them and change them. See, if I can do that, I'll be taking the first step in learning to not play fair and learn to love my enemies. Will you take this journey with me as we do what God's calling us to do? When we look at something that Jesus said that I wish he hadn't said, but I'm glad he did. I'm going to ask the band to come back as we pray. Lord, I pray that you'd help each of us to look at these amazingly hard sayings that you've given us and to realize that you are calling us to a better place. That if we can simply rely on our faith and do what you ask us to do without the why, without the results, without any of it, just simply do, that we know you will take us to life to the full. And I pray, Lord, that you help each of us to consider the words that we've heard tonight. Consider the way we walk through each day. Consider the idea of, have I been striving to play fair when I should have been striving to not play fair? Help me to give better than what I get. And help me to do it all through the power that you give us, the Holy Spirit that you placed in each one who believes in you. Amen. As for the enemy lovers themselves, what happens when it does not work out? Well, they are not tied to doing just what is fair. They are free to move on. They do not need to settle the score. They let it go and get on about their business. Because of that, they are not held up in the past. They are not bitter or dragged down by old hurts and grievances. They are still alive in their souls. Loving and letting go have set them free. Amen. Henry Cloud. Jesus, I pray that you would help each of us as we head into the weekdays with new marching orders, that we would be prompted by these ideas, that your Holy Spirit would stop us in these opportunities and see them as opportunities to do good, to bless, and to pray for those around us who do not give that type of love back to us. Lord, I pray that we would be different and that people would see it in our lives and want to turn to you because of it. I thank you that we can walk down the road and as people hurl stones at us, we can deposit blessings to them. As people are cruel and unkind to us, we can merely leave a bit of love and keep walking forward, knowing that we are called further down the road to a celestial city where we will spend forever with you. Mm-hmm. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen.
Amen.
See you next week, 7 o'clock.